Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who once tore his ACL playing chess, Pete Chwaba.
Wait, Todd Alba is all over. He's doing another tour. He must be like Norm at Jiffy Lube. Norm from Cheers. Guy must put the miles on his car. Todd Alba working hard for the people, following the truth wherever it may lead. Tune into the Todd Alba Show if you haven't yet. And it sounds like, once again, he'll be coming to a city near you. I think that's so cool. So we got Greg Bach coming up at 8:20. He's the co-host of Matt and Air on Air. He hosts with Jane every day. They do a great job. Greg also owns a comedy club in Milwaukee and is a comedian himself. So we'll talk to Greg at 8:20 in just a few minutes. Right now, we're going to go to the phones. Conrad, we have a caller.
Cindy from Appleton.
Oh, love Cindy. How you doing tonight, Cindy?
Good. How are you guys?
We're doing great.
Well, I just wanted to tell you who my least favorite reality shows are.
Please.
All of the above.
Any reality show?
Oh, my God. People that watch these things really need to get a life of their own.
Don't you think that's why they watch, though? Honestly, I think their life is so boring and they get wrapped up in this drama. The problem is, I think sometimes they bring it to their own life. They'll use these people as like role models almost.
Well, that's the scary part. And I mean, look at where number 45 started out.
Yeah, he was a reality guy. That's true. So it can't catapult you to the presidency. So
yeah, it's pretty sad. But like I say, they need to get a life because I'm so busy. I don't have time for that kind of craziness. I'm making my own reality stuff going on here. You know what I mean? I mean, there's volunteering and organizations you can get involved with. There's just no sense in sitting around watching that silliness.
I absolutely love this call, Cindy. Thank you. That is such a great point. Take the focus off yourself in a good way and do something for other people and stop watching the nonsense. I agree with you.
Yep.
Great stuff. Yep. Thanks so much, Cindy.
Yep, good night.
All right, bye. You too. So Cindy's answer is all of the above. And it's hard to argue with that. So we got some more texts here. Well, these are all phone calls. Conrad, how many phone lines? Do we install 18 phone lines before I... Gosh. So from the 502, Tom Sandoval, the most narcissistic lying pile of garbage that I've ever seen on TV, other than our former president. That's the text from the 502. I don't know Tom Sandoval, I have to say, but Tom, the 502 feels very strongly about this guy.
I don't know who that is either.
I did Google him because the text came through right before the news. He's an American model, actor, television personality, musician, and businessman. That's too much. Nobody can do all those things.
He's lying.
So he's full of it. Yeah. But he's got a Wikipedia page. So there is some validity to whatever it is Tom Sandoval does. And it says Thomas Anthony Sandoval is an American model, actor, but he's on a wrestling thing here too. I don't know. I don't get it. Maybe he's like one of those Jake Paul, like he's just sort of wrestling as a side hustle. How much would it take for you to fight Mike Tyson, Conrad?
A lot of money.
Yeah.
All of it.
Seriously, is there all the money in the world?
All the money to get punched by Mike
Tyson? You could take one punch and just go down and take a dive for $1 million?
That's going to be the hardest punch you ever feel.
And it could kill you.
It could injure you. Yeah.
It could kill you.
It could definitely injure you.
Or alter your brain so you don't even realize you have $1 million sitting in your checking account. I'm with you. Like, if they put wording into the contract that said, we'll pay you $1 million to get into the ring with Mike Tyson, I would accept that, and I would go down the second the bell rang. Because I got in the ring.
Yeah.
I'm not a contract. I'm not a deal breaker. All right. So this week, ladies and gentlemen, in 1999, a franchise was started by Ricky Gervais and Stephen Merchant. They are the co-creators and writers of The British Office. And I said before on the show, I don't want to be a broken record player, but I didn't watch The American Office on purpose for like a few years because I just loved The British Office. I loved Ricky Gervais. I loved Norman Freeman and the whole cast. They were just great. And the guy who played Gareth who's the Dwight character on The Office. We're going to celebrate a little bit before we bring Greg Bach in, and we're going to have a talk with Greg about The Office as well. But let's play. Conrad, you got a clip for us?
I do.
Let's hear some British Office. Let's start with the shorter one, and we'll kind of tease up to the other ones.
Yeah. Okay, Mr. Davis, can I just call you back? Somebody just come up. 2 minutes. Thanks very much. Bye. What are you doing? Well, Gareth, what are you doing?
I'm just pushing the stuff off my desk. I can't concentrate.
Not on your desk?
It was. It's all overlapping. It's all coming over the edge here. All right? One word, two syllables. Demarcation, all right?
That's Gareth, who is the Dwight version in the British Office. He is the Dwight character, or Dwight is the Gareth character, I should say. And Tim, Norman Freeman, is the Jim character in the British Office, and they're both great. Here, basically what the American Office did, there was only 12 episodes of the British Office, and the American Office took all of those premises and basically made them into Americanized versions, but they stuck very close to the script in many instances. Let's play the jelly. They call Jell-O jelly in Great Britain, and you might recognize this if you're a big fan of the American Office.
Oh, careful. What's this one? Gareth Keenan in the area.
You're here, new town. Introduce yourself.
Good to see you.
Gareth Keenan, assistant regional manager.
Assistant to the regional manager.
Gareth's my right-hand man.
Immediately beneath me.
Oh, has an actor said to a bishop?
No, he's not. I'm not.
Do you know about your car and your kung fu and everything?
Yeah, I got a TR3, bought it for $1,200. Done it up, now it's worth $3,000.
Profit on that.
New suspension, new engine.
Just a wreck.
Respray. I've got some
to himself.
Oh, what is that?
Whoa.
Right, that is it.
Slow down, you move too fast. Solomon's here. All part of the job. What's going on?
Put my staper inside a jelly again. That's the third time he's done it. It wasn't even funny the first time.
Why has he done that?
Just told him once that I don't like jelly. And trust the way it moves.
Yeah, you showed him a weakness. He pounced. You should know about that.
Oh, what is in there?
It's my stapler.
Well, don't do that.
Well,
eat it out. There's people starving in the world, which I hate. So, and it's a waste. So, how do you know it's yours?
Because it's got my name on it in Tippex.
Yeah, don't eat it now. In chemicals.
Right, you can be my witness. Give him an official warning.
How do you know it was me?
It's always you. Can't you discipline him?
Oh, kinky.
No, the thing about practical jokes, you've got to know when to stop as well as start, and now's the time to stop putting Gareth's personal possessions in jelly, all right?
Gareth, it's only a trifling matter.
Here we go.
We're always like this.
You should put him in custody.
He's going to fit in here. We're like Vic and Bob, aren't we? And one extra one. Oh, God.
Yeah, I'm more worried, really, about damage to company property, that's all.
Trifling.
And it's the same ending to the scene where Ricky Gervais is trying to match wits with his coworkers and he can't. And he fancies himself a comedian. And that's what is so damn funny. And I almost think, like, I love Steve Carell on The American Office. He's great. And he kind of plays a less educated, like, when you watch The British Office, Ricky Gervais has an air of, he gives off an air of being educated. But just his neediness for attention outweighs his education. The American Office, I'm reading way too far into this. I realize that. Michael Scott never finished college. He's not an intellectual. He's not a deep thinker. That is the difference between the two regional bosses, David Brent and Michael Scott. They both work. They're both hilarious. We have one more clip, Conrad?
Yes, we do.
What is happening in this clip? I forgot what I sent you.
It's a picture. That was shared.
And they did this on The American Office, too. Okay.
They did, yes.
This is an obscene picture that's been shared. The British Office, go.
Advice. You're on very thin ice as it is. You've already lied to me today. What's that? You lied to me because you don't have the guts to do your own job.
I don't have the guts.
If you're not man enough to do your job, I will do it for you.
Not man enough? Shh. Okay. Come here. Busy at work?
Is there a problem?
Yeah, that.
So what's that?
What's that? I don't know, a dirty picture with my head on it. As a sex object. And don't... You know I like a laugh. Tim, I'm just... Porno laughs are not funny, OK? I'm disappointed.
You think I did this?
Case closed.
Oh, didn't I say that? As it was my investigation.
And what annoys me is, you obviously didn't do it in your own time.
Whoa. Columbo here figured it out, did it? Well, yeah, of course. Shit, sorry, yeah, I must be guilty if you got your best man on the case.
Yeah, stop trying to be funny for 1 second, Tim, OK? And listen, OK? And stop taking advantage of my good nature, cos I could be like every other boss in this situation, OK? Right? You're taking the piss, and I'm getting sick of it.
David, it wasn't me, OK? It was your good friend, Chris Finch. He used my computer. He said he was your best mate and you'd find it hilarious.
Oh, no, it is. That's never in question. I think it's bloody hilarious. You're missing the... But,
are you going to apologise to Tim?
Tell you about families. You don't have to, in a way. So...
Are you going to apologise to Tim?
I have, in a way.
Are you going to apologise now?
Yes. Sorry about that.
Yeah, that was an apology. So there you go. That's The Office. The British Office dropped in 1999 this week. I remember seeing the billboards around and seeing Ricky Gervais before I even knew who he was, sitting at a desk. And the billboard didn't really reveal much. It just said The Office. And he was just kind of sitting with one hand on the desk looking at the camera. I was like, what the heck is that show? And then like a year later, everyone was raving about it. It was good stuff. Tonight's question is, who is your least favorite reality TV personality? You can let us know by texting at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, or text us on the app or the stream, wherever you're joining us tonight from all over the state of Wisconsin. We've gotten some great responses tonight. I would say Chris Kardashian is leading the way. I would say the Kardashians are leading the way, and in a subset, Chris Kardashian. But hey, coming up next, we're going to talk to our old friend. He's not old. He's about to become a Nightlight frequent flyer. This will be fun. Greg Bach joins us next. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Just another night, another vision of love. You feel joy. Nothing will be the same. Just another night. It's all that it takes to understand the difference between lovers and fakes. So baby, I talk to you in the night, in the dream. John Cena is retiring from, quote, professional, end quote, wrestling. He announced it, and people booed. This guy's making some serious cash now in the entertainment business. I don't really want to see him, and they're just fans, but man, I would run like a thief in the night from pro wrestling and what those guys go through. If I could make money, walking out at the Oscars with a little piece of cardboard covering my junk. Sounds like a lot better living.
Did you see him when he was the co-host of the newer Wipeout?
Oh, I did not.
Don't.
Was he bad?
It was horrible. Terrible jokes whole time.
But that could be the writer. I don't know. I don't know anything about John Cena. He seems to have a sense of humor about himself. That's what I'll say. So initial thing is that I like him. And I think it's cool that he's hosting Shark Week on Discovery. But hey, let's move on to some professional comedy here. We are about to bring in a gentleman who is much funnier than John Cena, might even be as good at wrestling as John Cena, but you might know him as the co-host to Matt and I Are On Air here every day at Civic Media. He's a comedy club owner and a comedian himself, and he joins us now, Greg Bach. Ladies and gentlemen, Greg, how are you?
I'm doing well, Pete. How are you both doing tonight?
Oh, this is so fun to have you, dude. Look at that shirt. I love that shirt. Does that say Brew Crew?
Heck yeah. This is my City Connect jersey.
I love it. And yep, you got tats, Greg. I've never seen your arms before. This is a very intimate thing in a young friendship. I'm seeing your arms for the first time.
Wow. We're on the second date, Pete. We're on the second date.
I have no tats to share. I'm sorry. I, I can tell you what I might have done. What do you have? What kind of tattoos do you have there?
Oh, just nothing but the dorkiest stuff. I have a part of the Constitution, not the Second Amendment. Thank you very much. Darwin's Tree of Knowledge, which is always an interesting discussion point. Some art pieces here.
Love it, man.
Pete, you lived in LA, right?
I did for a long time. Yeah.
Do you recognize this piece of artwork? It was like kind of a famous piece of artwork. This is really great for people listening on the radio right now, by the way.
This is great radio. I do not. No, I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah. So, and then there's like a dorky Doctor Who tattoo. And yeah.
Okay. You're spreading it around a little bit. That's cool. Well, welcome to the show, Greg. It's great to have you. How are things going with...
It's great to be back. Thank you so much for having me again.
Oh, you're welcome. I thought we lost you there. Glad you're with us. How are things going with Matt and Aaron Air these days?
You'll never lose me, Pete. Matt and Aaron Air is going really, really well. We've got a really great groove going. Great guests coming through. We're talking a lot about, you know, Project 2025. We're doing a lot of political stuff with the election coming up, with the RNC. We want to keep people informed, but our thing is, like, we also don't want to completely bum people out.
Yeah.
So we like to, you know, in that first hour, we talk a lot about politics and process and voting, and it's important to be a voter. And then, you know, in the second half, it's either lighter stuff or just, you know, Wisconsin business owners, you know, someone who owns a, you know, a maple syrup company. Or, you know, we talked to somebody today from the Ice Age Trail about, you know, people getting 1,000 miles on the Ice Age Trail. Which is pretty interesting. So
that is really cool.
It's a lot of fun. It's a great time. It's a really great time. Jane's fantastic. We're just having a blast.
So how is it for you, Greg? Like, you're a comedian. You're also a very well-informed guy, very smart guy. What are your favorite topics to talk about on the show?
You know, I do like talking about politics, and I like talking about politics in a way in which we control the narrative, which is, we really want to inform you. Yes, if you listen to us, we can get a little, you know, we're both very nervous about the election, but our job is to take the information we look up as far as news stories, video clips, present them to the people, and try to give them the best bit of information they can get. The truth, if you will, you know, from the journalists who are reporting them. And I like doing that because I feel like I'm just helping to inform people, and I'm not pushing conspiracy theories, which is, I don't have time for conspiracy theories. But I also like talking to those people who just, you know, people who work at the public museum and are excited about dino days of summer, or listening to farmers discuss the ups and downs of a 5-6 generation tradition in their family. And I've said it before, and I, you know, as long as I'm still around and people will listen to it, working for civic media, and this is not, you know, this is not me sucking up to the brass, it's, I've gotten a greater sense of Wisconsin, and I have a greater and deeper pride about being from Wisconsin by being on these by being on shows by Matt and Air on Air, and just like learning and talking to people.
That's so great. What do you think, Greg? We don't talk politics really on this show, but after the debate, I put on the debate when I was driving home, and I, you know, I won't really get into it too much, but it was not good for Biden. I think that's pretty much common knowledge. What do you think is going to happen there?
Well, honestly, you know, it was a bad debate, and it was a bad debate in June. We forget so many things by the time the election rolls around, and without getting too, I don't want to say angry, but frustrated, I think my thought was this: if you want the president to step down, okay, what I want from you then is a plan. Who is going to step up? How are they going to get funding? How are they going to get ahead of the poll in the polls? How are they going to manage being able to run for presidency in less than four months and somehow beat a guy who has 34 convictions, felony convictions, and is still gathering support? When you give me a plan that is viable, then maybe we'll talk. But until then, I'm sorry. I might sound like a company sucker, but I'm sticking with who we got. So
who do you pick, Greg? You pick Greg Bach and you finance it by a Pete Schwab, a third party, out of date, post dated check. How does that work for you?
Perfect. Perfect.
Who has been your favorite guest on the show, Greg? Who do you like look forward to joining the guests whenever they come on?
What are you doing to me, Pete Schwab?
I'm asking like about your 10,000
kids. You know, I really, Derek Mosley, I would probably say Judge Derek Mosley is one of my favorites. He is a super fun gentleman. He is a judge in Milwaukee, but he now runs the Lubar Center at Marquette. And when he comes in with joy, and he comes in with knowledge, and he comes in with excitement. He'll talk about Black history. He'll talk about the coolest restaurants in the city. The man radiates positivity. The moment you meet him, you want to be his best friend. And he makes you feel like you'll be buddies for life when you meet him. And we have great guests, and I enjoy many of them. I can talk about quite a few of them. But Derek Mosley, when he pops into my head, he's the person who I always want to get on the show, but yeah. I don't want to do it too much to think that, you know, I'm trying to push an agenda of just trying to be Derek Mosley's friend. And
but if you're listening.
Yeah, I think Derek, if you're listening, you know, I'd love to be a judge.
We should pal
Can
around
you make
more.
That happen?
I love that.
I've got
that,
a robe.
And that's so great when you have like people who you could tell are trying, and the people that it's just natural, and they people want to gravitate towards them. That's so great. Greg, you have fans and they're listening. Sherry from HorrorCon says, hi, Greg, with a whole bunch of fun heart emojis. Sherry. You got to love Sherry, right?
I love Sherry from HorrorCon.
She's awesome.
She listens from morning till night.
I know. Isn't that great?
And I have no problem with that. I'm here for it.
She pays our bills. All right. Greg Bach is here from the Jane Matt and Aaron Air Show. And we're going to talk some stand-up comedy when we come back. He's also a very funny comedian. More coming up with Greg Bach after the award-winning news team at Civic Media. I'm Pete Schwabba. This is Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Napoleon Dynamite. If you know the movie, you might know that song. The White Stripes were formed this week. That's kind of cool. Greg, are you a White Stripes fan? Do we have Greg?
I am. I do. I enjoy the White Stripes more than any other. Well, I like the Raconteurs, the other Jack White project, but I really like the White Stripes a lot.
Wow, you know your Jack White stuff. I had no idea he had another band. So I only know music as it pertains to the movies I've seen it in. But you look like a music guy, Greg. You're a comedy guy, but you look like a music guy. What do you do with that? Greg? Do we have Greg? Oh, there he is.
It's funny because I was just talking to Seth and James of Civic Media as well, doing an interview. And I said, I'm actually a failed musician. So I started doing music when I was 14, and I was doing comedy by my mid 20s. So
very nice. And there is there's a connection between music and comedy. I found that so many comedians I used to work with or knew loved music or played an instrument. And I find musicians, for the most part, funny, and they have a good sense of humor. Mm-hmm. So before we move on to comedy, I want to talk about your comedy club in Milwaukee. The RNC starts next week. Civic Media will be there in force.
Yeah.
You, as a comedian, what do you do with that? Is there a nuance you have to look for? Because you are also kind of a journalist based on the show you have. How do you know?
Generous.
I think you're more of a journalist than me. Generous. How do you know when to be funny? Does Jane ever give you a dirty look, or do you have carte blanche and you're just like, we got to make this funny?
Well, you know, we are a show that tries to come to the airwaves with a lighter sense of existence, but the topics that require respect and demand a solemn, you know, discussion, we keep it like that. I'm not going to go joking about, a tragedy or something like that. But if a politician like Bob Menendez from New Jersey is stashing gold bars and cash in his house, I'm going to make a joke about it because that's funny to me. You choose the moment to be funny. Because if I'm always making jokes too, then no one takes us seriously.
Right.
And so I pick the moments and I can tell when I can crack a joke and when I know when to shut my mouth.
All right, so let's move on. Let's talk full-blown comedy. You do not have to hold back now, my friend. You own the Laughing Tap in Milwaukee, and you're a comedian. Talk a little bit about that and how that got you owning a comedy club and comedy and how you end up here at Civic Media talking about politics and being funny. But that's kind of a leap, right?
I mean, well, I worked in politics for about 10 years campaigning and in local government. And that came from going to UWM, getting a degree in political science. And so like, I tell people all the time, I just had a lot of jobs. But you know, politics led me to comedy. Actually, I wanted to go to law school and I read that Steve Carell wanted to go to law school too. And he took an improv course. And so I just getting more and end up and getting more into sketch writing. And then that led me to an opportunity to come here at Civic Media to do a Wednesday co-host gig. And then that turned into a producing job. And they were like, "Do you want to be on this show?" And boom, here we are.
I love it. That's a great path. You know, Greg, we're having a little bit of trouble with the audio. Can we try Greg on the phone maybe? Greg, can we switch to the phone or do you want to try to re-log in?
Yeah, sure, Lee.
Okay. Conrad's getting calls from all kinds of people tonight, so hopefully he can fit you in. He's getting a lot of personal calls. All right, so we'll get Greg on the phone. In the meantime, Aunt Carla checks in from the 608. She says, "Go Brewers, love your t-shirt, comedy friend." I think that's so cool. And then Sherry checks in too, and she says, "This is what I do, and I teach piano." And she sent us a nice picture of deer with a lovely winter setting. Very nice, Sherry. Thank you for sharing that. So we're trying to get Greg on the phone, and then we'll continue our conversation. I just didn't want to go any farther because I love what he was saying. And all right, we got Greg. Is he back?
I'm here.
Oh, hey, buddy. Thank you for working with us there, Greg. We did get a text while we were transitioning to phone. Conrad's Aunt Carla says, "Go Brewers. Love your t-shirt, comedy friend." So there you go.
Yes.
All right. So tell us what's coming up at the Laughing Tap, Greg. I was looking at your schedule. You got some pretty big shows coming up.
Well, actually, we just announced yesterday a gentleman named Ben Palmer who runs a TikTok account called Palmer Trolls, where he goes on websites and trolls the trolls. And he is very, very popular there. And he'll be coming this Sunday. Doing one night only at the club, 7 p.m. Tickets are $25. It's a special event, so we're very, very excited. But we have Anthony Bonazzo coming in this weekend, Friday and Saturday. And then next weekend, we have John Doerr, who's been on all sorts of TV shows.
Yeah.
He's coming through the tap next weekend, Monday, in two shows Saturday. And then we take another weekend break because it's Harley Fest. We're about a half a mile from the Harley Museum, and we're not going to try to compete.
Oh, wow. Good business plan there. I saw you have Dana Gould coming too. That'll be a fun show. Is that September? I think it was this fall, but,
November.
Okay. He's great.
Oh, we got Bobcat Goldthwait like twice last year last year. And then twice the year before that. And, we were just like, "Hey, can we get Dana Gould?" Or actually, he said to us, he goes, "Dana would love this place." We're like, "Are you serious?"
Oh, man.
He would come here. And for us, that is like, you know, he's a legend. I mean, Dana Gould is a comedy legend. He's, you know, Simpsons, network television, writer, producer. I mean, and just absolutely hilarious. Still doing it after, I think, nearly 40 years.
Yeah, he's written some of the most famous Simpsons episodes, too. So, that's a great get. So, mm-hmm. You also have, tell me about your RNC therapy show. You got that on the schedule. I assume that means Republican National Convention. What's that about?
Yeah. That's the one that's this Sunday where Ben Palmer comes in and he'll have a screen down. There'll be a projection. He'll kind of show what he does online to people when he's he'll go to Target's website or Target's Facebook page. And if Target's like running a Pride event and someone complains about the Pride event, he'll start an account as Target and interact with this person in a comedic fashion and just basically troll the trolls.
I absolutely love that.
Yeah.
Is that what he talks about on stage?
Yeah. Yeah. So he'll go through with the projector and go through all the different things he's done and people he's talked to, basically telling stories about how he's messing with people.
That's
so great.
The
people who should be messed with, I should say, by the way.
Right. How can we get him on this show? Where is he from?
Ben Palmer?
Yeah.
I think he lives in LA right now. Okay. I mean, I could reach out to his management and see if he wants to be on the show.
Well, he's probably, are you sold out?
No. We just put the tickets up yesterday.
Oh.
But they are selling.
Okay. Well, we'd be happy to help you promote that. I think I love that gimmick. That's just great.
Yeah.
So how often do you perform there, Greg? Do you still do stand up like you used to?
Not like I used to. No, I don't. It's a demanding schedule for the club, but I just performed there last weekend and that was very fun. And I get up when I can. I'll be doing a show. I'll be doing a show called Laughing Liberally in September at Comedy Sports in Milwaukee. And that's a fun show as well. And then I'm actually hopefully going to be possibly going on the road to Denver before the end of the year, but we'll see about that one.
Oh, very cool. What's the club in Denver?
Well, there's a couple of, there's a club called Comedy Works in Denver. There's a couple locations, but I got a couple of friends out there that put me on some various shows. And I've just never done stand-up in Denver and I want to see my friends and hang out and have a good time.
That's fantastic. I love when I was reading about the Laughing Tap. I used to work the Comedy Cafe a lot. That was like the club in the 90s and it was such a fun room. I absolutely loved Milwaukee crowds. They were so good. The club owners were so good to me. They gave me a lot of work. Do you find Milwaukee audiences in general just to be great crowds, or is it how you run the room?
Yes. Well, I think it's part in they are people who are coming in and wanting to have a good time, and we curate the lineups really well. So we invite a certain kind of fan of comedy. And now, granted, there are people who come in new all the time, but when you walk through the door, you know this is going to be a fun time, but it's also going to be, we don't put up with guff. So like, if you're heckling, we're going to deal with you. If you're causing a problem, we're going to deal with you. We want to make sure that, you know, people are spending their money. They're not here to listen to you. They're here to watch the person on stage. And people remember that when they have a fun time, they come back.
I used to love that when you'd finish a show and then you'd hear the audience leaving and it was the hecklers. And they're saying, we helped him. Like, no,
oh my gosh. Yeah. I thought I was helping. You thought wrong.
I love that your club, you know, I don't know if you remember this or if you were even doing stand up in the 90s, but there was like a comedy boom. Then it was kind of a drought and clubs had trouble getting people into the seats. So they said no admission, but 2-drink minimum. They jack up the price of the drinks.
Yeah.
I love that you actually charge just a cover charge at your club and there's no drink minimum. Do you find audiences are more likely just to show up to really just want to laugh under those circumstances?
I think so. And I think when you don't put the pressure of a drink minimum on them, they appreciate it. And B, a lot of people are going to have those 2 drinks anyways.
Right.
Because I just think of in terms of straight economics. It's like, you know, if you and your friend come to a show, that's going to be, you know, that's going to be $40+ for tickets.
Right.
Then, all right. So let's say that you're coming with a partner and you have kids. All right. How much is that costing you in babysitting? And then did you go out to dinner? How much did that cost you? You know, you can be racking up a couple $100 in your head. Then all of a sudden you walk in the door. I'm like, and by the way, you got to spend an extra like $30-$50 on drinks, by the way. Have fun. So.
Right.
When I tell people we don't have a drink minimum, their eyes will light up. Oh, they'll be a little shocked. Like, really? I'm like, yep, we don't have a drink minimum. You know, bar's right there. very, very, very good prices on very, very good drinks.
Alcohol. Yeah, for sure. All right. I got to ask you something. I saw on your Twitter feed, or not in your feed, it was like in your profile, you say, I'm a queer trash icon who's worth a million prizes. That must be an inside joke, but I just love the phrase. Can you explain that?
So first of all, I identify as queer. So that's the first part.
Okay.
Then I was doing a show, I think it was with Jane, and somebody, we were talking to a guy who was helping small businesses. And I said, you know, I co-run a club, it's small business. And he's like, what you're doing is iconic. Well, later in that show, someone called me trash for quote unquote lying about Donald Trump. So I was just like, I am a trash icon. and then I just love that, that line from Lust for Life from Iggy Pop, where he goes, I'm worth a million in prizes. I just love that line.
I thought that sounded familiar. Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. Well done. Can you give us just a couple more minutes? I want to ask you what you're watching. I want to see if you've seen any of the summer blockbusters and get your opinion on the British Office, if I might.
Absolutely. I'm here.
All right. Fantastic. Greg Bach is with us. You can hear Greg every day right here at Civic Media. He is Jane Matinera's co-host for Matinera on Air, and he owns The Laughing Tap. Check it out in Milwaukee. Great comics and obviously a very well-run club. So we'll be back with more with Greg. He'll help us shut this thing down. Coming up next on Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Greg Bach is dancing on the stream. It was actually Jack White's 49th birthday. Not the formation of the White Stripes.
It's also my sister. It's my sister's birthday too.
Look at that. What do you make of that? Is she musical?
She's a better singer than she lets on. And she played a mean clarinet when we were in grade school.
Oh, sweet. I love it. So Greg, is there a reality TV star you find really annoying? Do you have a least favorite? That's our question tonight.
Yeah, I would say, like, of all of them, you know, I would have to go with, I mean, I'll just be honest. I have very little knowledge of reality TV because I don't watch a lot of it. I would probably throw shade at the throne and go with the Kardashians because it's just
the throne.
I mean, it's just a group of people who are terrible. While trying to act like they are good people, but it's like, you're not, though.
I agree. And that was my vote, too. And I think, by and large, the most texts we've got tonight said the Kardashians. I think it's the mom, because I think she's the catalyst behind it. But you're right. There's really, you really have to struggle for something to like about them.
Yeah.
You know?
If you want to go with something really weird, what's the mom's name?
Chris.
It's Chris. Look her name up and then write in, and then Google in church and just read about that.
Chris Kardashian Church, the last name too?
Yeah, that's her. Yep.
Okay. Conrad, take a memo. We got to do that, buddy.
Sounds good.
We'll get on that. That's fantastic. Actually, why don't you do it right now? Maybe we can have an answer for Greg before he leaves here. This will be fun. Greg, I don't know if you've been up to date on the Hawktua girl. But word on the street is she's going to get her own reality show. And I don't know how you build a show around that one foreplay maneuver, but apparently they're going to try.
I mean, everyone can get one episode before they're canceled.
I just hope she gets all the money up front. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she's getting a reality show. She's apparently releasing a country record. She's copyrighted Hawktua, which I thought was some... When I first heard it, I literally thought it was like a tribe in Australia. And I'm like, what is this? And then I saw it. I'm like, oh, I'm so wrong. And And what else? I guess she's thinking about doing comedy, which, you know,
good you gotta luck. Book her. You gotta book her, Greg. You gotta bring her to Milwaukee.
Oh, absolutely. Can't wait. It's gonna be like we'll just find all those leftover ponchos from Gallagher and we'll just distribute those.
Yeah, I don't. What's even worse, we were talking about this at the beginning of the show, is the people who actually are going to plop down money for the trademarked merch. They're going to walk around with that. Yeah. They're not even the creator of it. They're a fan of this nothing thing. That is the most disturbing thing to me, I think.
But you know what, though? In this day and age of constant content and all this stuff, I say make your money. I do not hurting anyone, in my opinion. Like, do your thing, Jelly Bean. Go for it. Whatever. You'll be gone. She'll be on a t-shirt in 20 years and be like, oh, I remember her. Where is she? She's dead. I'm just kidding, folks. I didn't mean to bring it down like that.
Oh, man.
Why not? Why not? Just go for it, lady. Do it.
I'm a hypocrite because this whole week I've been trying to think of some maneuver I could say that would go viral and totally sell my soul for extra cash. I'm not putting myself above that. I'm just mad that she thought of it first.
How about Schwabba Habba or Schwabby Dada or Schwabba Dabba Ding Dong? Schwabba Dabba, there it is. Schwabba Dabba Ding Dong. And instead of the more you know, it just says Schwabba Dabba Ding Dong with a rainbow and a star shooting star.
Conrad, I think we got our promo.
There you go.
You know, there's nothing exotic about my name, Greg, or my appearance or my skin color or anything. So I love that you're trying, though. I appreciate that. And you'll get a taste. If I do make money from this, I'm going to cut you a check.
That's right. You wet mama's beak. You wet mama's beak.
That's right. Two things before we let you go. Do you have an opinion on The Office, the British Office? And also, what are you binge watching, Greg?
Let's see. I have an opinion on the British Office. I think it's fun and fantastic. Like a lot of English shows, British TV, it did what it does best, which is come in for two series, make its point, get it over with, get out, never come back.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot of TV shows. There's a TV show called Spaced. If you're into the group that did Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, and The World's End.
Oh, nice.
That was their TV show before. Same thing. Two series, done, gone, never did it again, moved on. It's perfect. It's perfect British comedy. It's wonderful and fun to watch. I don't have an opinion on one versus the other.
Right.
Because they're just two different shows in their approach. But I love the British Office, you know.
I do too. It, like you said,
taking hard stance on Nightline. I love the British Office.
It's so tight. It's 12 episodes in a Christmas special. It's hard to compare. In some ways, honestly, I almost think what they did here in America is even more impressive because they had to stretch it out for 9 seasons and create comedy where there probably wasn't as much. So I think they're both great shows, but Greg, I can't thank you enough. Thank you for your time tonight. Appreciate you sticking with us through the sound issues, too.
Of course. Oh, yeah. No, I appreciate it. And thanks for putting up with my dumb internet connection. But it was great to talk to y'all. I love hanging out with you, too. And don't forget, get those T-shirts out because I got bills to pay. I got a mortgage to pay. So
Schwabba-dabba-ding-dong.
I registered it all. Schwabba-dabba-ding-dong.org. That's your website.
Oh, that is a savvy business move, buddy. All right. We will do that. And keep up the great work on Matt and Aaron. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Pete, for having me. Take care, guys.
That's Greg Bach. Check him out every day here on Civic Media. He's the co-host of Matt and Aaron on Air. I just got a text from a friend who said Masters of the Air on Apple. He says it's awesome. This is what his grandpa did. Crazy he survived. This is a buddy of mine, Mike Corwin. His grandfather was a paratrooper, I think, in World War II. And from what I understand, these guys, sometimes they jump out of the plane and the equipment would just not even work. So you didn't even know if you're going to hit the ground alive. His grandpa was captured. I've heard the story a few times. It's fascinating. So Masters of the Air on Apple TV. Check that out. Another great recommendation from a Nightlight listener. So great that all of you could be with us. Thank you for your texts and calls tonight. Thank you to Abby Novak. Check out the Appleton Hyde music series all summer there in downtown Appleton every Thursday night. Thanks to Greg Bach. Check out Matt and Aaron Air every day here at Civic Media. We will be back tomorrow night with more Nightlights. And Conrad, who do we have tomorrow?
Well, we have Todd Michaels.
Oh, that's going to be awesome.
And Matt Miller.
Paranormal investigator Todd Michaels and the producer of the Mino and the Mayor show in the morning here on WGBW and WISS. And Matt Miller from On Milwaukee. It's going to be another fun show. Thanks so much. Have a great night. Good night, Wisconsin.